Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Through thick and thin, for richer and poorer, I do. Like, those words have weight because I have walked them out. And so the first time, I said this recently, the first time you hope it to be true, at a vow renewal, you know them to be true. The conviction is different. You stand on it different. You feel it different. You say it different because I have 20 years of experience that have proven through thicker and thin, through richer, for richer and poor. I have 20 years of experience to prove that to be true. And so I actually think it's very, very powerful to have the opportunity to like do it again.
I'm trying not to break down, trying to hold on to my gangster. Good Lord, Melissa.
I aim to make emotional healing a global norm through cultivating candid discussions about love.
My parents got married and divorced to each other 3 times. Or you can look at it as they kept trying. In the end of my father's life, that's what he told me.
I aspire to mend marriages.
I'm intentional about loving her because now I understand that, you know, I was able to be free in loving me, then I could love her.
Reignite hope for singles seeking future relationships.
How can you glory in being single and want a companion at the same time? How can you not?
I know.
You're only going to be as successful as a wife as you were a single.
And inspire men to lead their homes in accordance with biblical principles.
When I made my vows, I told God that I was going to take care of this gift. This is my gift. Oh, and I was obligated to see after him and him alone.
Join me on this journey where these heartfelt and vulnerable conversations form the patchwork for the quilt that will envelop my future wife.
I have accepted their opinions without criticism. And the theme is that I'm happy and I want to be happy in the future.
I'm LaTerrace R. Whitfield. Welcome to the Dear Future Wifey Podcast. Welcome to the Dear Future Wifey Podcast. I'm your host, LaTerrace R. Whitfield. Listen, are you still shacking up with us? If you're still shacking up with us, can we get a commitment? Hit that subscription button and subscribe. Make sure you turn on your notification bell so you'll be notified about upcoming episodes. And go ahead and hit that like button right now so that people can, you know, what YouTube does is that it'll recommend the video the more engagement that people see on the video. But listen, today's episode, I'm talking to my buddies. I'm talking to my friends. Y'all love them so much. They've been on 2 panels with me on the Dear Future Wifey Podcast, and now an interview that we postponed last year. God saw his mercy and graces to bring it all the way back around, almost to the same month, because last year is supposed to be in February. So without further ado, welcome to Dear Future Wifey Podcast, my homies, the Fredericks.
God circled the block.
Yeah.
Come on,
get
somebody.
That income back going up, man.
Come on, the
people came and got mad at you.
They got mad.
I didn't know if you was being for real. They said their income went. Listen, you said their income went. Terry told me.
Listen, Kev on stage. What had happened was, you know, that's how you got to tell the story. What had happened was.
Yeah.
What had happened was when I had that interview with Bishop Derrick Jackson.
Not the bishop.
Yeah, he's the bishop. Bishop Derrick Jackson. The women got mad about that. Yeah, they got mad and they said, "Nah, LaTerrace, this is a healthy platform, and you brought him on the platform.
You brought that toxicity over here."
Yeah, they said, "No, we don't want you bringing that on this platform, so we're gonna punish you.
Oh,
yeah, we're not gonna watch you for a little bit, amen."
And you got in trouble. They went and held your hand and said, "LaTerrace, you in trouble for a little bit. Yeah, you on restriction."
On restriction.
The funny thing about that interview, it helped all the other podcasts. It was my video about that. Well, I was like, this is great. When you posted it, I said, shout out to you and Tay. I know what the bonus is going to be. And since he went on my platform directly, they didn't pop me. They popped you. And then they benefited. We could talk about it, but you the one who did it. You got in trouble. They got you in YouTube jail. You got YouTube jail. YouTube jail. Like,
people don't know about that, do they?
Bruh.
They don't know that if you start doing certain stuff, the algorithms will start not recommending you. Yeah. The engagement ain't what's popping. And then you sit there and you're like, okay, my little income done dropped. You're like, Lord Jesus. And listen, Kevin, Melissa, what happened was I had just closed on the house on August the 30th. And so that next check came. I said, I done messed around and got a house. Now, I wasn't supposed to get this.
This was a mistake.
This was a mistake. Purchase. I need to reverse this whole mortgage thing that's going
on. Call the house people back.
Circle the block again.
I'm in YouTube jail. Give me a refinance.
We need refinance to undo. First month.
I want to refinance the first month.
I ain't got no equity yet. Take what I put down, recalculate that as if I'm doubled it up. Because I'm in YouTube trouble for a little bit. They mad at me.
People don't understand. Listen, I've been rocking with you for years.
Yes.
Thank you.
You've been doing, how long ago was Playmakers?
Playmakers was January 2012.
That long.
December, January 2012. Yeah, that's when the Stuff Girls Say videos went viral. We did Stuff Black Church Girls Say and Stuff Black Parents Say in the same night, released them at the same time, and then it was off to the races almost immediately. Mm-hmm. Immediately. Those were the two first videos.
And the early days of YouTube.
Days of YouTube, where very few people were like making a living off of it. And at that time, there was hardly anybody, if anybody, making any kind of church content.
That's what I was about to say. Y'all were the first people doing church content.
Man. Yeah.
And it was teaching how to shout in church and everything.
We did all. It was wide open then. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of church creators now, but at that time, there was no like, for real black
dedicated
to, and ones that you could tell really went to church.
Yes.
Because we had more jokes and more insight. You can tell if a person really churchy or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did. We had a great time on that old Playmaker.
Did you see that being what it was? Like, what made you even create that?
Listen, we were so funny, man. We was doing actual plays. So the Playmaker's name came from we were doing plays.
Yeah.
We're trying to be like Tyler, David E. Talbert, Jacarius Johnson, all of them.
Laterris R. Whitfield.
Laterris R. Whitfield. Amen. He was on our vision board.
Put my name on
it. Yeah. He said we're going to be like Laterris.
Yes, amen.
We did not achieve that goal. And I remember we were about to quit. Mm-hmm. Remember? Mm-hmm. We were like, we're just going to coach our kids' basketball teams. And I remember I was the one who was the most watching YouTube because I had a job where I didn't have to do much work. I mean, they wanted me to do, but I would not do.
He was quiet quitting.
So I was just quiet on quit. YouTube. Yes. Quiet quit before that was a term. I said, well, I quiet quit this mug as soon as I got that job.
Quitting in place.
Quitting in place. So I was watching more YouTube than Jay or Ant. And I was like, yo, people are making money off this, like as a living.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't our goal. Our goal was like to get big enough so that we could do our plays in other cities. Because we were doing them in Tacoma, and Tacoma wasn't big enough to do, like, in order to, you done plays. In order to make it work, you got to be able to do either a extended run in a place, or you tour it. You can't do one show. There's no money in one show.
Nope.
And there wasn't enough black people in Tacoma to even do one good show. So we was like, we got to be able to tour it. So we were like, we need to be bigger on the internet so that when we come to Oakland, we can get our fans there, Tacoma, you know, Dallas, whatever.
Yeah.
So that was the only goal. And then we put those videos out. People started inviting us to their church, stuff like that. And then we realized the internet in it of itself is a good thing. So listen, my wife will tell you at that point we had a credit card that was what? Was it $10,000?
It was $10,000.
In debt.
You maxed it out?
It wasn't even maxed out. The thing was $15,000. We had ran it up to $10,000 with no idea on how to pay it back.
The Playmakers
done played around with
it. It was a company card that was actually a Kevin Melissa card.
Yeah, because I got it in my name.
Yes.
But I put it under the business because I had the best credit of the three.
There was no business, though.
No, there wasn't no business.
No, but there was an idea.
Yes.
The business credit was off of your personal credit card.
Correct.
We ran that mug up, boy, doing some of the dumbest stuff ever. We bought tickets to Miami to meet Jacarius Johnson. $500 a plate event he was attending. We had to get flight, hotel, rent a car. We
for
rented
three
a,
people.
For three men, a Volkswagen Bug in Miami, and we met him. And we had no further plan. We just like shook his head. He's like, well, nice to meet you. We were like, nice to meet you. And then he walked past us, and we were like, oh, cool. Now what? We literally didn't have nothing to pitch him, nothing to hand him. We just was like, we're going to meet Jacarez, then he going to put us on. That's not how this world works. So at 10, Melissa was like, all right, stop.
Y'all need to pay this back.
So we probably put the minimum on it for another 2 years.
It was probably longer than that, kid.
Been there, boy.
Maybe three.
It was long.
You be paying a little $75.
We would meet up at the bank. Yo, 75, my 75. I would go in there, put the little 225 on there. That balance did not move for 3 years. It wasn't until we moved to LA and we got a large lump sum to make videos that we were able to pay it off.
So what were you doing at the time, Melissa? Were you working?
I was working. I've always worked. So we were not fired. That wasn't shade the way it came out. Out, but I was not fired.
You never been fired in your life.
I never been fired my whole life. Never been fired. So I was working at Key Bank at the time. So right out of college, I started as in a management training program. And the first salary I made was $32,000 a year.
And we were filthy rich.
And yeah, I thought we were rich.
Yeah.
I mean, they ain't counted by dollars no more.
I had a salary. I wasn't a per hour employee.
You get money on vacation?
I get PTO and a bonus?
We were like, you can do that? They can pay you when you're not at work?
You can tell me we didn't make
they
it.
They can pay you when you're not at work.
And then Kev was working at Bank of America, and together we were probably making $65,000 a year, something like that.
Felt like a million.
You couldn't tell us.
Did you have kids during that time?
No. Well, so, not initially. I got pregnant with Isaiah while I was at the bank.
So y'all was rich.
Yeah, we were rich.
And broke
all at the same time.
Them kids have took all that little bit of money away.
Once we bought a house. It was like my dream. You know what I mean? It was like we went to college. We got these good jobs. I was pregnant with Isaiah. We moved into a house in October 31st. Isaiah was born August 8th. Of that same year. So it was like everything was falling into place, you know? And then we had Joe, and the boys did this, I guess this is after the Playmaker stuff. They were doing that. And of course, you know, like you said, he had the debt or whatever, but things were going really well. I was working, Kev was working, all things were fine. And then when Kev got fired, and then they started doing the 5-year-old comedian with Isaiah. And we were making a little bit more extra money on the side. Isaiah was making like $500 a video.
Yep. But that was not only him.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
That was $500 for writing, directing.
Editing. It was everything. The full production.
It was all in fee. But still was like, $500?
Yeah. And so we took that little bit of extra money and put the kids in private school. The American dream.
Picket fence.
The American dream. We were only missing Monty. You could not tell me that. And we were young. We didn't even hit 30. So we bought our first house.
Built from the ground up.
I mean, it was a little 1,200 square feet house. Anything, but it didn't matter.
What city was that in?
Tacoma. New build? At the time, we didn't know if you make a house in 3 weeks, it ain't really that good of a house.
Listen.
It was new to us.
It was fantastic.
Ain't nobody ever even peed in this toilet but
listen.
Us.
Why is that the first thing we say? That's why I said, ain't nobody ever peed. You forget that the builders and
all
that.
No, the construction workers they don't peed count. All up in here.
They don't count. It didn't have an address
that's
at
a
that
test
time.
Pee. That's
it was good. A lot
a
number.
It didn't have an address.
It was a lot number at that time. It don't count.
Matter of fact, once they test the toilet, they put a new one in.
Correct.
So it could be fresh peed.
And so when y'all had that, but how did y'all manage those early beginnings where here he is with the dream of Playmakers. Were you always on board with that?
No. So, no. I am definitely miss stability in our relationship. We always use this kite string analogy.
No.
And Kev is definitely like, he's a dreamer, big time dreamer. And I'm very much like a stable, like, what does the landscape look? Let's stay on the ground and make sure, you know, that all things are going really well. So it was more than Kev being the dreamer. It was that it felt for me at the time, it came out of left field. So we go to college. I'm thinking, again, this is our dream. This is what we're doing. We bought a house. We have children. We have college degrees. Like, we are ticking off the things of life. Yeah. I'm so confused why you're not happy, because look at us. We've accomplished all this
exactly.
stuff. And so when Kev was first fired, which we kind of knew was coming, but once he was fired and it was like, you know, in my mind, I'm like, oh, you're going to get a new job and then all will be well again because you don't have job. Now you get job and now we back to incomes. See how that works. That's very problem solved. Very good.
Amen.
And Kev was like, yeah, except I was thinking, what if I do comedy full time? I was like, like, what happened? Say it one more time.
Did you see that coming? Had he ever been? So he never mentioned, he was never like the class clown or something?
No, but it wasn't to the point where I thought, oh, this would be a career path.
Yeah.
This would be something you would truly like go after. And it was so unstable because, again, doing comedy every now and again at church, doing the skits, the YouTube, whatever, though, that's extra.
Yeah.
What you're saying is I want it to be the full time. I don't want it to be the supplement. I want it to be the mainstream. And it was just, it was foreign. It was a foreign thought to me because my dad was in the military. My mom has always worked. So I've always grown up in a very like stable environment. And so because it didn't sound very stable, it's very scary. There's like, what type of plan is this? And so after that, we both started working at Boeing. So eventually he did do that for a little while. Again, it was fine. You know, God made a way out of no way. You know, I got to know God as Jehovah Jireh.
The Lord, our provider.
Our provider. All right.
But how did you manage that, though?
That time?
Yeah, because, like, how do you manage the process of either spouse having a dream that comes out of left field and you not being negative about it or pessimistic about it and supporting it or not supporting it? Was it some things that you look back and say, yeah, Maris taught me I could have done this better with it?
Oh, 100%.
Which was what?
The 100% in that now I know that as a dreamer and just kind of the makeup of Kevin, and if there was any piece of advice I could give to someone married to a dreamer and you are the more like stability partner, is finding the balance and being able to speak your fear and your concern that doesn't sound like an attack to them and maintain the support. And sometimes what that looks like is like, I say this now that I wish I could have said then, I bet on Kevin. I said this not that long ago. We were out of town in Vegas. I said, I have two rules. One, of course, is always bet on Black. And the second one is always bet on Kev on stage.
Love it.
That is my way of showing that I support and I trust what my husband says, what his vision is. I trust his skill, his talents, his business acumen. Like, I trust it. And I still have stability as a need for me. That is something that is just in my makeup that I need to understand what's going on because I want to make sure my family, my children, my house are secure. So I'm betting on you. I believe in you. I trust you. Can we sit down and speak to my concern as well?
Good. What would you have done differently? Being a dreamer.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
That's why the Terrace R. Whitfield.
Yeah. You got to have the R in there.
That's a visionary.
Yeah, it's visionary. Said on the sign.
The R is for the right question. That was the R stands for. The Terrace R. Right Questions Whitfield. I think what I would have done differently is understood the place the questions were coming from and not take them as a personal attack.
Yeah.
Early in marriage, I still have this part of me. You either with me or you're against me.
Yep.
And if you're not 100% with me, you are 100% against me, and then I will destroy you or prove you wrong. And I have this long list of people who are proving wrong. But I had to realize that Melissa being concerned, now mind you, this is coming from a person with no plan, no Chris thing, like, girl, go with me to LA. How are we getting there? I don't know. We'll get down there and we'll figure it out. Why don't we get down to the L.A.? We'll go around and say, Hollywood, how we get in here? And then make it.
And Hollywood will say, welcome.
Welcome, Kev.
Welcome with all the other dreamers.
Yes.
That's couch surfing.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Now you made it to L.A., we'll show you how to be. Here's Tyler Perry and here's Brad Pitt. Angelina Jolie, take your pick, son.
Take your pick.
Be in a movie with them. Doesn't work like that. So I had to speak to the fear and understand, one, Melissa's on my team.
Yes.
Two, that fear is a healthy fear. One of the things I've been saying lately is Melissa also has amazing business acumen. She has saved us a million times. She's helped me make great business decisions.
Good.
Just by listening to her.
Good.
So and with Melissa's thought process, this is what I tell people. I told a friend of mine and a business investor. I said, worst case scenario with what Melissa says, you'll be safe. If she's wrong, it will always benefit you.
Mm.
If she's right, it will hurt you. So when she's saying if X and Y and Z don't happen, that's not from her thinking it's not going to happen. But prepare whatever it is so that if that does happen, here's our contingency plan.
Yes.
But she, that doesn't mean she thinks it's going poorly.
Right.
It's just a stopgap. Like if it goes bad, let it stop here before it's negative. So I didn't understand that that's what she brings to the table.
Yes.
She brings contingency. She brings strategy. She brings vision. She's looking for 8, 12 years down. She's also, because I can only think if it goes right. Because when I get to the plan, baby, to the moon. I'm going to spend $100,000. I'm going to make $300 million. Everyone in the world is going to see this movie. People in Pakistan who don't even speak English don't know who I am. They will find me. They'll find my special. They're going to write articles in Forbes about how they never heard of me. The Wonder Kid strikes again. What do you mean it might not work? It has to, because I've already bet on it. So, and I've failed enough of those times. And my mind was like, that was last time, damn it. This time, $500 million. Marvel's going to come and say, be in our Marvel film, even though you don't look at all like a superhero, because we're switching it around for you. So I think what I did is take the best of me and the best of her.
Yes.
And that plan ends up being the best. And that doesn't mean they always succeed.
Yes.
It means when we failed at her contingency. When we've succeeded at my dreams. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And
you gotta stop that.
Good.
God, doggy. Man, I'm about to bump on something in my shunner now.
I can bend the mic on that.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God.
That was good.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why that's so important. Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit. The reason why that was so important, because I was the dreamer and the visionary in my marriage, and I had a Melissa. Mm. I looked at whenever she would tell me certain stuff, it's like, you've been negative.
Yeah.
Like, how? And she was one of those type of people that's very, very safe. She didn't need all the extra stuff. She was just like, whatever's simple.
Yep.
You know? And all the little designer stuff that I wanted us to get, she was like, I don't care about this stuff, but I'll be like, but let's get it.
Yeah.
And she was just like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, for
and
sure.
And so I looked at it as negative, but I didn't realize. And one day she kept saying, do you think I'm your adversary or your partner?
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm just saying, you just always negative. It'd be different if you come and try to help me do this. You ain't even trying to help me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You just watching me fail. You know what I'm saying? Because I had big dreams.
Yeah.
And those dreams is what attracted her to me, because she saw me at 22 years old saying, I'm going to have national plays on tour.
Yeah.
And then she watched me achieve that at 24 years old. So I'm touring shows. She's my stage manager. Then she started acting in some of the plays.
What? She was our stage manager.
We have parallel lives.
She was the best stage manager
she ever had. She was the best stage manager I ever had.
And she was mean.
I was not mean.
She held us down. Dang, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just thought that was so interesting that she did the same role.
The same thing, because she's business-minded.
Yeah.
My ex-wife, she had an MBA. So everything in business, that's what she did well.
So why'd you cheat on her then?
Why would you ask that question?
I want to know. You had it, and you went and messed it up for a different coochie. And why did you do that? Laterris R. Whitfield?
See, now he ain't going to invite us back.
You only got to come once.
We did two panels in this. That's it. That's the last time.
No, he's not coming back the fourth time.
We're not coming back. Dear future, never again.
But no, I get it. The thing is, when you're in your...
You can't just change it.
But when you're in your mind, this is another part of my problem. Your mind tells you you're right.
How you gonna try to change?
You gotta let him answer the question.
Oh, tell me what you don't. I'm sorry. I thought it was bad. Is it bad or good? Have you ever answered that question on here? You said I could ask you stuff.
You can ask me stuff.
Oh, okay.
I'm interviewing you.
Okay, okay. Tell me after.
No, I'm going to tell you. So the reason why I cheated, because I lacked integrity. I lacked integrity, and my immaturity couldn't see what you guys were able to walk through and navigate. And so when you're married to somebody and they become your enemy,
so good,
then you start responding in a way to destroy whatever that is.
That's good.
That is
like,
really good.
Just like you even said, you said, listen, if you're against me, I'm going to destroy you.
Right. Yeah.
So I saw her as my enemy.
That's good.
And so
that's
subconsciously really good. I began to destroy everything around my marriage. I began to operate as a hurt victim instead of being victoriously the husband that I was supposed to.
That's really good.
That's why that church girls is going to be all over you. Because you don't, that boy, you don't take, you grown in that accountability. You about to get you some sanctified coochie. They throwing in the DMs are right back up. Because they like, he could do that to me. Now he done messed up. Now he going to have that integrity with me. Everybody's got sanctified coochie on one of them little vacations you. I know they waiting for you. Latess, I'm in 317. If you tired, I got some cake. I baked you some cornbread.
Oh my God.
317, Latess. If you ever want to fall in sin or in grace, depending on how you want to describe it, I'll be there. You can slip and fall into me.
You said sin or grace, fall
in
sin or grace.
Oh my God, they're going to be up in there.
Dumb, dumb.
Liz, what's wrong with your husband?
I don't know. Why I'm husband, asking y'all to pray. The intercessors are not interceding.
It's not working. You guys, it's not working.
No,
why this man going to ask me why I cheat on my wife?
Because I wanted to know.
I'm trying to sit here in that mind with y'all was able to work this.
Good question. It just went off the rails.
I'm trying to get that YouTube back up. I need you to get some clips that you can put on Instagram. And you got to stop it right before you answer. They're going to be like, God dang it, I'm coming back. I'm coming back, Latess. You got me. I know how hard it can be. People don't understand, bro. You done invested in this space. You got the good cameras, the little light ball. I know that light ball. You got a good C-stand.
It is a good
sandbag. You got all the quality. Even those cords in your plug, that's the extra good. I done seen it because we got on our Best Buy. They said they ain't extra good, but they showed me that one. So I know. I know what you're trying to build, and I'm glad you're doing it. I'm glad you're accountable.
And so when I saw y'all able to weather, it was what I was trying to get through.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
same situation. It's ironic that the parallel by her being the stage manager and all that. And so I'm going through this process. And so what I love is that I hear so many people DM me, dreamers, where they have one person, and when we operate with the power of each person,
yes,
to be able to say, you never seen a football team with all wide receivers,
right.
You
know what I'm
saying? Yes. You never seen a basketball team with all power forwards. Absolutely. You're just never going to see that. And so at the end of the day, as men and as women, if we can look and say, I chose this person yes. for a reason,
then you got to let them rock.
Yes.
But you got to really, it's like, I love sports analogies, and I'm glad you used one. It's like you could have, say, Tom Brady and Michael Vick,
yep.
right? Both good quarterbacks, but not skilled in the same way. Mm-hmm. You would be an idiot to make Tom Brady try to play like Michael Vick. He can't do that.
Facts.
As well. And you'd be an idiot to force Mike Vick to try to play like Tom Brady, because where he can hurt you is what he does well.
Right.
And I think it takes maturity to see. And also, I can say the part of this that I'll be honest, Melissa did lead with support. Sometimes in every relationship, I can't speak to everybody being like not afraid, you know, really balancing. Sometimes yeah. people can tear you down and all that type of stuff. But in our relationship, I had to understand what she was already doing, which was bringing the value that she brought. And it was me who was misreading the situation. You know what
it's
I'm saying?
It's hard. It is hard yeah. to
misread it.
To misreading
read.
It.
Yeah.
Misreading her help as hurt. Like she really is trying to help, but she's helping in her way. She's not a dreamer. Mm-hmm. So I can't expect her to see this. You know, I see the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow yeah. and I can always fight for it. Right. She sees, okay, it's a rainbow. In order to get there, we got to do this, this, that, and that. And I can't expect her to see the way that I see it. But that doesn't mean she's not seeing it.
Right.
She's just that seeing part. It her way, which is also valuable, because sometimes it don't work out. And it don't. Mm-hmm. Like when we did Churchy, when will this come out?
This coming out probably next month.
February?
Yeah.
Okay, so the announcement will be made by then.
Okay.
So
just wait for it.
For a quick example. Yeah, they said February. They said January 29th, they're going to make the announcement.
Yeah.
That's this week.
Yeah.
So we made this show called Churchy, right?
Which I used to watch all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah. So
great production, great writing, great storytelling.
Yay. Now, let me give you an example of why it was bad.
What?
So that show, I didn't let her do what she did well.
Which is?
I made the budget. You know what I said? The budget, there's no chance it goes a dime over what I said. production in my history has always went over budget.
In the history of production, it always
everything I've ever worked on, everything I've ever done.
Anybody.
Even if you buy two coffees and you only budgeted one, you're over budget. We made this during COVID. I still didn't account for those production overages.
COVID, meaning having a COVID officer come doing the COVID testing.
Doc, so y'all made that in 2020?
We made that in 2021. But in LA at the time,
Yeah.
In order to shoot productions, you had to have testing,
a COVID officer.
And then even on top of that, I don't want to get into the whole thing because it'll take all day. But I say I budgeted Laterris got to take five tests for production. Those five tests are $125,
Yeah.
That's if Laterris does what he's supposed to do and shows up on time. It doesn't crap into my mind that everybody's not going to make their tests on time.
Yeah.
So when you have a doctor come to set, Laterris is $125 test. It's now $375 because the doctor's paying for his fee to come and the rush fee. And how many, you wouldn't believe how many times we had to do that. Or a person gets sick, gets COVID, you got to replace them. The COVID budget alone.
Oh my God.
Ballooned astronomically. Had I listened to my wife.
Was she trying to tell, were you trying to tell them that?
It wasn't just that. Again, we don't have to go into the full details. It was also that I wanted more control over who we were paying and how we were paying people. And we had someone on the team that lacked integrity.
So anyway, had I listened to what Melissa brought to the table, it's not that things wouldn't have been bad. Right. It's that they could have been accounted for. Right? But what ended up happening is the dreamer part of me actually worked. We were able to sell it. So we eventually made our money back. But because we were further along in our marriage, earlier, Kev, I would have came back and been like, boom, told you so.
Yeah.
Told you. And look what happened. Yeah. You didn't believe in me. Blah, blah, blah. And instead, we were able to say, whew.
God brought us through.
God. We almost made our money back. Thank the Lord.
And not that we didn't come out unscathed. The thing about it was that was actually really like, that was a very tumultuous time. Thank you. I'm doing this like topsy-turvy thing.
That's why you good at taboo.
Thank you. Taboo. That's worse.
That's tumultuous.
Oh, tumultuous.
That's tumult, and this was true.
Oh, gotcha. Put it together.
When you did that, I said tumultuous. Yes.
It was actually really a difficult time navigating, like, how do we make this make sense? Because the reality is we really do see the world from two completely different angles. And when you decide to say, I do, and you're building one life together, you have to reconcile. I have used the rainbow. I see the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Immediately, my mind said, well, is it raining? Because it was a rainbow. That means it was probably rain there. So should we account for the rain? So that's just good. How we see the world. You know what I mean? And so when you're going through those things, if we walk out and we get to the pot of gold, he's looking at me. If we walk out and it's raining, I'm looking at him.
So you have to find the way
to appreciate, again, what both people bring to the table.
Because you need the rain rainbow and the gold to get it all. That's good.
That's good, boy.
That really is good.
Yeah.
But that came from us learning to be on the same
team.
Yeah,
this is 20 years in.
We're telling you from the point of view of like...
today.
Yeah.
Hindsight being 2020.
Exactly. Hindsight being 2020, mistakes being made, getting through them. And as you learn how to navigate stuff in the past, I mean, the present, you can better deal with things in the future, but you still will make mistakes in the future. And then you learn, grow. It's not a process that we will ever have completed.
Mm-hmm. You know how people always say, never put divorce on the table. Did y'all make those vows at the beginning, or did y'all just say, no matter what, we'll never get divorced?
Yeah, it's something I actually believed in heavily because of how churchy I grew up. Divorce was not an option. I say this all the time. It's all you actually really hear. And then I think what actually changed it for me was, number one, my parents got divorced after 20-something years of marriage, close to 20-something years of marriage. This couple, pastoral couple in our like church district got divorced after like 40 probably years of marriage.
40-something years?
Yeah.
I always wonder what goes on. 70
years old.
I'd be like, what goes on that you'd be like, 40 years, I can't do another year.
And no cheating. They didn't cheat.
They just what? Just grew apart.
They just grew apart.
We don't know the details of it, but that's
what I was
saying. But it
wasn't no side baby. It wasn't no like.
None of that.
It was just like, and that was even more, a baby, we like, oh man, you trip, whatever. But just like, we just aren't going to be doing this anymore. Was like, hold on. What
happened?
That's even worse than the side baby I guess.
Yeah.
That's y'all just don't want to be married no more? And your church people, you're still pastors and, you know, missionaries and all that stuff.
40 years of marriage.
Kids is 35 and stuff.
They got grandkids. They have kids as old as their marriage. You know what I mean? They got 40-year-old kids. Yeah, it was wild.
So that led us... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, so that led you to what?
That just let us know that saying divorce is not an option does not mean divorce is not an option. Like, that's just the thing people say.
So what did y'all do? What systems did y'all put in place to navigate those rough? Matter of fact, let's go there. When was the hardest thing where y'all felt like y'all were going to get a divorce, and how did y'all navigate y'all way through it?
I would say for me, I feel like everything started coming to a head in 2020.
Yeah.
So that means y'all were married for 18 years at that point.
Oh, yeah. 17, 18 years for sure. I feel like what the pandemic did, at least for me, is this carpet is pristine, but you have a stain on the carpet. And the first weeks, couple months that you have the stain, it's all you see, right? You're like, oh, I need to get this carpet stain. I hate this stain.
Yeah.
6 months, a year later, you don't even realize the carpet is dirty. You just walk past it. And I feel like sometimes in marriage, a lot of our issues in the beginning, they really bother you. And before you know it, it's there. You're just ignoring it. You just don't see it anymore. You're just bypassing it. You're too busy. You don't have the time. You don't whatever. But the pile of laundry, the stain, the whatever is there.
Yeah.
And I think what the pandemic did for me was force me to now I'm sitting down and I'm looking around and I say, there's still this stain here. And I got to put in some work because now it's unsat here. For all this time, and I didn't get it out when it was fresh. So now it's saturated through the fibers of the carpet, and I need to have a professional come out and put some elbow grease in this, and they got to work the stain out. And I feel like that's what the pandemic was. It was all of these, just underlying, you can still function as a couple, but there's things there that with the busyness of life, you're able to ignore and push aside. And when the pandemic came and you're forced to sit down, let's have a conversation. Let's talk about this.
So was that the first time y'all ended up getting therapy or something?
Yeah, for sure.
So was that the first time you ever got therapy?
We did premarital counseling, but I mean, no shade, no disrespect, no tea.
It's just not real.
But no shade. Okay. Yeah. No. There's no shade here to pastors that offer.
We just grew up in an era, and this is unfair, of the body of Christ. Yes. Where you have the pastor doing everything and they not equipped to do everything. We expected them to be our pastor, our finance advisor, mortgage expert, marriage therapist, parent. You know, that person just love God and preach good. They not, those other jobs people went to school for and learned. So we get mad, not getting mad, but he's doing that as a service, but he's not a therapist.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He just wants to help.
Yeah.
And he's just going at things from his point of view or her point of view, wherever it is in your life. But it was more beneficial for us when we found a therapist that worked for our types, because it wasn't the first one. And we allowed a person to really do what they were trained to do as opposed to just expecting them to do because they lead our church.
But in that time in 2020, Melissa, where you vacillating divorce, where you I want to get divorced, you're saying we just got issues, we need to excavate.
No, I wouldn't say I was contemplating a divorce. However, there was Kev can tell the story.
Which one?
The story you told.
He said, which one?
When I got in the car.
Oh, this was, oh man. this wasn't even that long ago. Was it 2022? 2021?
Something like
pandemic
that.
When we say the pandemic, we really mean the quarantine part.
Yeah.
But it really was like a 3-year thing. We still have an effects of it
today.
But during the quarantine and immediate after point, after is the part we're referencing. So this had to be 2021. Mm-hmm. There was a time where, I mean, we was beefing. Where your mind starts to be we had a good run. I love her. I'll never stop loving her.
She's the mother of my kids.
Mother of my kids. I'm sure we'll be great friends. We'll co-parent. We'll figure it out. But I just don't believe the way it's going. You see the end of that train track It's broken over there. You got a little bit, the terrace, but it's going to go off. It's dirt over there. So this particular time, right, I don't remember the reason we were arguing. Either.
People never remember the reason.
No,
but I remember crazy. The after effect.
Yeah, you remember the after effect.
We were arguing, bro. Beef and this tension, we lived in a large house. We have a pretty good house now, but that house was large.
It was
bro.
Bigger than the one y'all have now?
Bigger than the one we had now. But we own this one. So it's better. The terrace, the tension was so thick in that house. It went from Melissa was on the bottom floor in the kitchen. I was upstairs on the other side. The tension was thick through the staircase, through the thing. Like, how are we beefing through floors?
He said we beefing through floors.
We got a staircase as wide as this room. We walking on opposite sides, up and down. It's like magnets pushing each other away.
Were y'all
away.
Still sleeping in the same bed?
Oh, we beefing right into that bed. Because I can tell you what I wasn't going to do. I'm not sleeping on nobody's couch. My back hurts. We can argue and we can be pissed off. And I'm sleeping on my side. Too and you sleep on not. Your side. And we put the line through the cover. And don't put your foot on me. I won't put my foot on you.
Your little cold feet.
Put your cold feet on. And that's our little love language. Get it off. I'm going to look at my phone pissed. You look at your phone pissed.
That's all.
Man. But whatever happened this time, Melissa was crying and she was like, I'm leaving. I was like, where are you going? I don't know. I might just go to a hotel for tonight. I'm in my drawers at this time. She goes into her car. And this is what, 2 a.m.?
It was
like 2 a.m., right? She goes in her car, gets in there, pulls out. I run
with your drawers on.
With my drawers
down
on.
Down the driveway.
God is my witness. If people had rings on from that day, you just got the footage. My stomach was hanging over my drawers. I ran downstairs because I was upstairs. She was like, I'm leaving. Came and got her keys. Where are you going? I don't know. Wherever I got to go. Turns the garage on. Luckily, the garage was slow.
It's so slow.
It was tinkity, 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 tinkity.
Like, and that was
just amount of time. Because it clicked. I said, she leaves right now. In my mind, even though we were beefing, if I allow her to leave.
Because
I remember her parents saying, this is what clicked in my mind. Both of her parents said, I wish they would have fought for me.
No, I wish.
I wish the other person would have fought. If they would have fought.
I wouldn't have left.
I wouldn't have left. So in my mind, I'm like, I'm not finna let you go. I grew up on 90s R&B. They
Hold on, let me tell you this. That statement you just said, a lot of people attacked me when I said that on my podcast. I said it on somebody else's podcast.
Did you? Did they?
I said, I wanted her to fight for me. And they were like, why do you think you'll fight for you if you're cheating? I said, because it was the underlying stuff. I said, I never share what caused me to do all that. But I said, if she would have just made me feel like she cared.
Yeah.
I probably still be married this very day.
And also, it's hard for people to understand a situation they're not in. It's easy to see things through the eyes of the internet.
Exactly.
And what you would do.
Through
that's
the
always
eyes
in the
of
best.
The internet.
Yes. Because on the internet, what we don't realize people do, they put their best version of themselves and what they want people to see.
Yes.
That's not often how people act in real life.
Facts.
So true.
Right? So at that moment,
But her parents told you that before.
They told us that.
Because my parents got divorced and my mom, like, she's literally said, I wish, you know, like my dad would have come after her, you know.
Did your dad say the same thing?
Yeah. There's like, they each have like, it's not the same moment, but they have both described like a particular moment that if the other person had did, it would have changed the outcome.
Facts.
Yeah. So I ran downstairs. I ran into her car crying. I mean, fully open.
Good.
Like, I didn't care.
Draws and no socks on. You got socks on?
No, I'm talking about just, and I had to throw my draws on to get out the house. Because I'd be naked in my house. In my bed, butt, cheeks on sheets. Balls to the side.
Balls to the wall.
Balls to the wall. I'm chilling. I like to be free as God made me.
Amen.
Let it hang where it hang.
Back to the garden.
Back to the garden. Threw some drawers on, ran downstairs, and I pleaded with her.
Good.
Don't go.
Good.
Don't leave. We can fix this. We can work it out. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not getting out of this car until we work it out. If we have to sit here in silence and cry, I don't care.
Good.
Because if you leave, if I allow you to leave, I feel like that rift is going to be bigger than if you don't leave.
We probably
stayed in that car for like an hour and a half.
Easy.
2 hours. Probably came back in the house at 4 o'clock in the morning. And it wasn't like we went in there and had great sex. Like, it was just like,
we here.
We here. Yeah. We made it through that night. And I feel like that was a huge turning point for us. Because it was like, you know, and I could see people getting in their ego, getting in their self, getting in their internet. Like, I could see you be, bro, at the end of the day, I was just saying this on a podcast earlier.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I'm always trying to think of what our life is going to look like 20 years from now, right? When all the glitz, if all the glitz and glamour is gone, Thanksgiving, when our kids come home, whoever they're with, married, girlfriend, baby mama, you did what you did.
So you did what you did.
I ain't saying you made the baby. As long as you take care of the baby.
That's right.
Y'all could come back to our house. We have Thanksgiving. We have Christmas. I'm fighting for that version of our history, but you got to fight for it. And I didn't care, man. That's why I said 90s R&B. Like, they was fighting. They was begging. They was crying. Please, they was being vulnerable. You better sing. And bro, and I didn't care. Like, I don't care what anybody.
Wow, what motivates you? I know you had that thought about her parents saying the same thing, but what rolls up into you to swallow all your pride and ego and say, I don't want her leaving?
What I'm gonna tell you.
What was that?
I can't lose her.
There it is. Mm.
I cannot lose her. The whole other stuff falls apart. People don't understand truly how Melissa is instrumental in everything I do.
Teach.
They just see the results of her. But it's more than the videos. It's the business acumen. It's the support. It's the stand-up. Melissa is one of the greatest stand-up comedy taggers in my world.
Good.
And she's not a stand-up comedian. But she's ingested so many hours. She knows what a good joke sounds like.
Yep.
She knows when a joke runs too late. I remember one time I had a joke that was running. It had been great for years. And I abandoned it for a while. Came back to it. And it was not clicking. And I'm like, Liz, what's going on? She was like, your pacing is off on this joke.
Good.
When it was rocking, you were hitting bop, 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 bop. You ran it too long. And it was the pacing that made people laugh. They felt like they couldn't catch up with
good.
You. I switched it that night and it killed as long as I ever did that. I'm not losing all of that. For no pride, for no ego. I'm not looking forward to meeting somebody new. I'm not desiring that. There's no amount of twerking or fat butt can do it. There's more to it than that. You can have the fattest butt, but like Dick Gregory says, it ain't nothing but doo-doo in there. Everybody's ugly in the morning. Everybody's breath stinks.
That's true.
Everybody farts. I'm not looking at the perfect version of you on Instagram because I live with an actual woman.
Yes.
If they black, they all bonnets at night. Makeup comes off. God knows when I shave and my phone is on there, I got to look at my titty meat from under. I'm not in the best position. Okay? I know what I look like with my shirt off. Y'all think it's a game? So, and we built this.
Yes.
And I'll fight for this.
Good.
I always said if I lose her, I will lose her knowing I gave everything I had.
There
and at
it
that
is.
Moment, I wasn't giving everything I had given. And I believe that argument was on my fault too. That day, I don't remember what it was. But I know it was my tension began. So I just really could not lose her and I did not care what it took. If you go into a hotel, we go into a hotel.
Together.
And we gonna be sat in room 317. That's got to be the number of completion plus new beginnings.
Kevin
and I don't know what three
means.
Had a
number in his mind. One time he had a check number. It was an amount.
Yeah.
And he just got that number this year. He forgot though.
I did.
You
I
just kept saying it over.
He kept saying it over for years.
As a joke.
And I finally got a contract that had that number. And I said, oh, my God. And I didn't. It didn't even click.
It didn't even click.
It was 20 years.
What did Melissa make it click?
And Melissa was like, you had the perfect opportunity to say it and you missed it. And I was like, dang.
Run it back.
You got to do it.
But yeah, bro, I was not losing her.
I read this article. Lionel Richie said this. He said that whichever wife it was, I don't know if it was his first wife or whatever. Hey, that was not shade. I'm just saying. I'm trying to make sure I quote the story correctly. He said, whoever it was, she could always hear a hit. And he was never able to identify a hit after he left that woman.
Wow.
He said that she'll be in the other room. That's going to be a hit record. He said, every single time she said that, it was a hit record. He said, after he lost her, he could never identify when a hit record was.
Wow.
That's what I be saying. She was with you shooting the gym, and that's why I say it. There's so much to her and us that if you remove that equation, even if I were to have success, and I don't believe I would, right? Because she also knows me. She knows when I'm pissed, how I'm gonna react. Yeah. So when I like a business deal, like there's been some times she's just saved me from myself.
Yes,
because I react one way and she's not that way. Mm-hmm. But even if I had success, right? I wouldn't be able to enjoy it. I couldn't have. Shaq says this. He's like, I live in a 30,000 square foot home and I'm alone.
Yep.
And I just be like, I couldn't. It would not be the joy. If you give me $10 billion and I don't have her to share it with, whether I'm alone, whether I'm with some young, whatever, fat butt, it ain't the same. Even the sex wouldn't be the same. I wouldn't be having the joy. So I fight for that future in the present.
That's good, you know what I'm saying? That was good, Kev.
Kev, I'm finna run out this dog.
Listen. I'm fighting for my dream. It's with each decision I'm making. 100%. I'm trying to make sure this business deal is wrong, if she feels this way. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I could know the other part could be taken away. And we had so much fun and good times in that little two-bedroom with two boys sharing a room. We sharing a room with one shower in there. We had the grandest time. I might not be at this level forever, but with her, I'll go back to that little two-bedroom. That's why we still keep it. So if y'all got to get out this house, we're broke now. Move. We live here.
He's talking to the renters.
The renters. Scram. It all fell apart. Scram. We can't afford it.
We're back.
By the time that house be paid off. So you know what I'm saying? So I fight for that because that, to me, is the win.
The win isn't money. Future in the present.
Mm-hmm. I fight for that vision. Now, because that's what opposes that. Because if I get what I think I want now and I lose that, then I eventually just know I'm going down a path where it's like not the same. And at the same time, we put in 25 years of work at this point almost. I don't have another 25 in me. I don't want to know your dad and your issues. I already know her mom.
So listen, I was talking to Judge Lynn Toler. I interviewed her last week. And she said, I don't want to be insensitive, but would you remarry again?
Mm-hmm.
And after losing her husband a year and a couple of months ago, and she said, I don't have the energy. She said, I will never say never, but I ain't trying to change for nobody else.
Right.
She said, I done married somebody, it was 33 years. I don't have the energy to be wondering about it. She said, and then you bringing up arguments. She said, I already won that argument before. I won that 10 years ago. Why are we having this? She said, I already won that
y'all
before.
I got to rehash.
Man,
funny.
I died laughing.
Because
you're saying the same thing. You're saying that, listen, I put all this sweat equity. We brought these beautiful kids into this world. We've deposited into these kids. We've cultivated these kids and these amazing humans that they become.
Yeah.
Why do I want to undo all that and then be like, here, meet this person? And she like, hey, meet this other person. They like, oh,
here's
okay.
Here's something very practically.
Ain't nobody doing that.
I'm going to give you a practical thing that helps me when we are beefing. My parents are still together. Right. They live in Fayetteville.
I knew you were going to say
Her parents are divorced. One lives in Fayetteville. One lives in Atlanta. There are two main holidays that your family wants. That's Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yep.
Having to split two holidays amongst three people, somebody's always left out.
100%.
And our families are actually get along great. Mm-hmm. We can have Thanksgiving at Melissa's mom's house. My family will come over and it'll count. But when we got to go to her dad's house,
it ain't gonna count.
You done pissed off two people. We want our kids to, I'm visiting my parents.
Yes, Lord.
And then the next holiday, we're visiting your parents. Just as simple as that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I never understood how valuable that was until we got a split. And nobody cares about New Year's, 4th of July. They want Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I think, you want to create a safe space for your children and for yourself. And you want to validate that and value that. And that's what's important to me. The other stuff, Kev on stage, is great. But also, I know a lot of that stuff is fleeting, right? One bad interview, they can turn on you.
Yep.
Your style of comedy is not one mistake. You can have that impact. Melissa was with me when I was Kevin Fredericks online. Mm-hmm. If Kev on stage, if we lose it all somehow, we got contingency plan after contingency, and that's another thing she's great at, we would have to lose
she
a
said
lot.
At the very beginning, Listen. She said, I believe in contingency.
Safety.
When I tell you that woman got us set up straight, I said, dang.
Tell me, thank you, baby.
I'm talking about it could all fall apart, and you be in that house still. They'd be like, how they stay in that house? Because that woman done set them up good. She done set us up with triple stamp, but like, we would be good for a long time. And
but
I think
about the value of that. You see what I'm saying? That's pulling on each other's strengths. You know, I said, I don't know the title of this episode. This episode is going to be called A Masterclass on Marriage.
Because
that's
you
what
thought that, of that right
oh,
now?
It just
that
came out of my
good.
Spirit.
That's
it
the
just,
Holy Ghost talking
that's
directly.
Because
right
I'm hearing
question.
This. Yeah. I'm hearing how y'all talking about stuff that's practical, but it's also in those situations, because while y'all talking about splitting up holidays, the woman I was married to, that's not the mother of my child. Mm-hmm. I had a child when I was in high school. But even in that, now she's married. My daughter's married, mm-hmm. 1 year married. And then she'd be like, well, I'm going to go over my in-law's house for this holiday. And then, but this holiday, I don't want to, yeah, can I go to my mom's house this one? And it's just like, I just be like, whatever you want to do. You know what I'm saying? But the fact that that's a decision, it's a real decision.
Oh, that's not, when
three
Melissa's
households.
Parents
yes.
got divorced, right? They are, and I'm not, this is just the truth. They're not thinking about our kids are going to have three holidays.
Oh, no.
Nope.
Nobody. You're thinking
Nobody
about the moment,
that.
The way you feel right now. And that's all of us. Yeah. We're all thinking about how we feel in this moment,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
Because a lot of time we live paycheck to paycheck, day by day.
Sure.
We're not thinking about, but I've been thinking about that a long time, right? So I listen, my career could be a totally different career if I wasn't trying to protect that. Mm-hmm. I could have had more money, more of this, but then I wouldn't have the thing that I really wanted. And a lot of time people don't know what they want, or they don't decide what they want and fight for that. If your career is the main thing, then your actions will line up with that being the main thing.
Mm-hmm. Teach.
And your marriage, your parenthood, your relationship with your kids will all fall apart. And I'm grateful that my rise happened well into our marriage, well into our parenthood.
Yeah.
Our kids had a regular childhood for the majority of their childhood. Mm-hmm. We only started doing well in life the last, 3 or 4 mm-hmm. years. They already are who they are.
Yeah.
So now they're not little jerks who need the top of the line. Now, my oldest son, he bougie, but he can stay at that Red Roof Inn. He prefer the Ritz. But if it's a Red Roof, it'd be like, whew, how many days? You know? So I'm grateful for all of that. And that's why I believe God's timing is perfect as
there
well. Because now we're getting to the age where things are going great. And our kids are, one's getting ready to go to college. They're well-adjusted and all that type of stuff. And because of Melissa, they are well, like, mannered, cleaning up, learning, being better. They can cook. Like, those are things that I was never going to teach them. But they're funny.
They're hilarious.
And they can catch a football with both hands.
They're both hysterical.
You weren't going to teach them clean up the room?
Listen, man. I can't teach you what I don't know. But your mama going to make sure you're going to be a good person.
Clean up the house.
So I think finding the value in what she brought to the table and not overestimating what I brought to the table.
When did that shift happen?
I think it happened in a lot of different ways throughout the years. But I think around that time period, 2020, you know, you start to, when we go to the therapy, you start to really understand a lot of your flaws.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times your mind is not challenged by its own self.
Oh, for sure.
You're designed to believe you are right for survival. It takes somebody else seeing you in a different manner or seeing a situation objectively and being able to say, actually, you were wrong in this. and somebody being able to tell her she was wrong and her accepting accountability, me accepting accountability. But for me, I'm the big ego. I'm always right. I'm never wrong until an objective person was like, ooh, you did what? Or how does Melissa feel? One thing our therapist does really well, she stops us. She slows us down. How does that make you feel? Not the action. Mm-hmm. How do you feel? Because I'm always fixer to the action, yep, like most men.
Like most men.
How does that make your wife feel? What are you feeling in that moment? So learning that, I realized with the best of intentions, you can hurt somebody. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you did it on purpose, but that doesn't mean the hurt doesn't feel the same. If I crash into you by mistake, it doesn't mean, oh man, well, it was by mistake. So my back is, it doesn't matter. Whether it was intentional or unintentional, the pain is the same.
Right.
So that was one of the keys that I had to learn. And I think that helped us. And I don't mean to say I learned all this in therapy. Melissa learned, like, we both tons. In there.
Both the same.
Learning, working, being hard. One thing we say when we're really working something that's hard for us, we're like, this is me doing that thing you asked me to do that is very hard for me.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And because to be transparent and share that.
Yes. Yes.
When did you come off of your corporate America job?
I came out in 2018.
Was it hard for y'all to start?
I think it was 2018.
So after that, y'all started working 19? Together?
No, it wasn't right before the pandemic. It was like 2018.
Yeah, yeah.
Say your question.
Did y'all start working together as soon as, did you come off to start working together in the family business?
So
well, that led to its own problems.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I know it.
So what happened was Kev was doing the Real Comedians tour. And so we were also doing the Love Hour tour at the same time. And so the plan was for me to come off my job. I chickened out and decided to do part-time instead of quitting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's stability. Okay. And this is also what made it even harder. The day I told my manager I was going to go part time, she was like, oh, that's so strange. I was just talking to our president. He's working on your offer letter. We were going to promote you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so it made me feel like I was making the wrong decision, being completely honest. I was like, there's no way God is going to give me a promotion. And I'm trying to, this doesn't make sense. So I clearly have to be making the right decision.
This is not God.
Clearly, this isn't God. I'm so confused. And literally, like the week, I don't remember the time gap, but the week I was scheduled to go down to part time, our corporate office came in and held a meeting with all of us and told us they were shutting down our facility. And so the October of that year, my job closed down.
She got all the people fired because she wouldn't believe God.
I literally said I was Jonah.
I used to call her Jonah.
Jonah.
And now you done made all the people lose because you didn't believe in God. And now them folks ain't got no job.
Yep. Yep.
It's all her fault.
All her fault.
The whole job shut down and moved to Ohio.
And I tell you now, Letaris, we didn't figure this out, but I took her fear about how she saw the world and her own life. Nothing, none of that was reflective of me.
Yeah.
When I tell you I took that so personally.
About me not quitting and going down a part-time.
We were supposed to build this together. Bet you don't believe in me.
Yeah.
And we'll never work together. And I will show you how you were wrong. And I will harbor resentment towards you.
For the rest of our lives.
I didn't even realize it was happening. Mm-hmm. It's not even, now it's like, how could you even think that? But in my mind, I was fully justified because she quit her job and then she reneged, and I cannot trust her.
Yeah.
Isn't that real, though?
Bro.
It is so real.
What an idiotic thing.
Because we're not giving our mates the space to be vulnerable with their own fears.
With their own fears.
Their own fears. It's like,
Their fears being a reflection of
how they see you.
Yes.
That might be the best thing I've learned. Recently, I've allowed myself to understand that Melissa can be in a bad mood and it be nothing that I've done to cause it, nothing I can do to fix it because I can be in a bad mood.
Yeah.
But in the past, she's in a bad mood. We're now mad at each other.
Yep.
What? Well, she seems to have an attitude.
Somehow so I have an attitude too.
I don't even know why I have an attitude. I woke up like, oh, you're mad? We're mad. We're mad at each other now. I'll show you.
I can be madder.
And I can, what?
I can be madder than you.
I can huff and puff.
And blow your house down.
I mean, this is in the last year, right? One thing in therapy, our therapist was like, have you tried coming close to her when she's feeling like that? Mm-hmm. Have you ever tried?
Said, why would I do that?
Obviously, she don't want me. If she want me, she'd ask me to come over. But she got to ask if she want to be pissed. Be pissed downstairs. Like I'm going upstairs. Huh? Now, this just happened 3-4 weeks ago. She had a bad, I didn't know what triggered it, but I told myself, Melissa's in a bad mood. I don't know why. I can't think of what I did. I'm not even going to approach it like that. I text her, because it's easier for me sometimes, because I'd be like, I don't know how to say. So I write it. Hey, I could tell something happened. Something, the energy shifted. I don't know what it is, but I'm allowing you some space to find yourself, but I'm not going to go so far to leave you.
Mm-hmm. It was very good.
I was in my bag
with
Terrace.
It was very good.
That got you, did
it? Yeah, it was very good.
And then I came and sat next to her, and I wasn't trying to get the draws.
Yeah.
Just supportive presence.
Yeah.
And it was like,
she melted.
Just crumbled.
Just melted.
I had her, boy. It was just, I was like, but that's I don't have that tool without therapy.
Right? Yes.
Without therapy, I see it as my fault.
Yep.
I'm scanning my mind. What could I have done? And I didn't do anything.
Right.
I literally didn't do anything. So that's what I'm saying. Like, therapy allows you some skills to learn how to navigate situations before you have to navigate them.
I want men to hear this. So what did that do to you psychologically?
It caused me to melt. Like, literally. And this is the thing. What is so odd? Maybe it's because I'm 40. I'm not quite sure, but my hormones be hormoning.
She be tripping.
All right, relax.
That's
I don't know what happens if it's like the perimenopause thing.
I think Perry be on you a little bit.
I think she's on me heavy.
I be looking at Taz's post and I be like, that's because you be hot.
She be on me heavy.
You be moody. I be like,
So I don't know what's happening. And the thing about it is, women will relate to this. We get on our own nerves. When you have an attitude and you don't even know why, you be like, I'm so sick of being, like, why? And then I can't get out of it. So now I'm mad at me for having an attitude. I'm mad at me for not being able to get out of it and then not being able to. So, like, I'm on my whole own nerves.
What are you mad about now? I don't know.
Exactly. I don't know.
Because, girl, get it together. Well, now I can't.
Now I can't.
God, why you make my body so complicated? Like, relax. I don't need all of this. And so instead of Esther Perel always talks about sometimes when you're in relationships, you pick a story and you dig deep into your story. Mm-hmm. And that allowed me I didn't have to dig so deep into like, I know I woke up with attitude, but now he's mad. Well, now I have to be mad too. So now we're just both mad. Nobody knows why we're mad, but we're just going to go through the whole day mad. It allows you to be like, I really don't actually want to be mad. And I really don't know what's wrong with me. And I've just woke up with an attitude and I'm just sad. So thank you for hugging me. Because now I'm crying because you're being nice. I don't deserve you being this nice.
I don't deserve you being this nice.
I promise.
And the funny thing is, to add insult to injury, right? I grew up with abandonment issues. So her trigger and her like push away, it triggers my triggers.
Yes.
So I have to fight against little Kevin feeling unwanted, feeling abandoned, because I know if I get pushed away, then we'll just be further away. So I have to fight against what her trigger that's unrelated to me, how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
So I have to sit closer. It's not your fault. 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 Okay? It's not your fault. You was good today. You was all right. So I just feel like people really underestimate what it takes, man.
No, you gotta make a marriage work.
Bruh, like, think about
this.
It's a
constant dying to oneself.
Bruh.
Every day.
Every
day. If you think about, if you ever
same
had a roommate.
Same thing that God requires, huh?
Yes.
Same exact.
Ever had a roommate, your siblings, people you live with, they get on your nerves.
Yep.
My siblings used to get on my nerves.
Yep.
Even when we had our own rooms. Parents get on my nerves. Dog get on my nerves. Get on my own nerves when I'm by myself. Supposed to get up and do something. I'm up here eating donuts. You know better. So how could a person who I'm doing life with not ever get on my nerves?
Right. Right.
So you have to allow space for that and not let it crumble your marriage and keep coming to each other. And I think people just don't want to do that, or they get tired of doing it, or the world doesn't show you the value in doing that, or it's easier to do something else, or they have a mistake, or they cheat on their wife because they saw as the enemy. There's many things that people could do.
Was that another shot?
No. There's a lot of people who made that mistake. just not me. But
just not me.
And the world really rewards you. Find your happiness. Whatever, that's like, true. You can feel justified in anything. People don't reward you for saying, go after your wife and cry. I don't see many songs, chase your wife in your drawers and cry.
90s R&B gave that, though.
Yeah.
90s R&B. 90s R&B gave that.
He said they'll reward you.
They don't reward, they reward you
for cheating on your wife.
Go ahead and do that.
Find your happiness.
Yeah. So I think it all matters. And at the end of the day, I'm very happy with Melissa. I'm very happy in this relationship. I'm very happy for what we built and what we're trying to maintain.
Let me ask you this. Like, with you touring now, how do you manage that? You know, a lot of times people feel like, you know, if you're touring around the country and all that, and then you're leaving the kids at home with the wife, how do you manage that? Not feeling like he's leaving you.
Oh,
you don't emphasize it that much.
Well, leaving you.
Thank you.
I think we actually had to go through a, like, all of this is learning, right?
Yeah.
So you eventually learn, oh, we need touch points.
Good.
When you're out of town, we need FaceTime, call, text, whatever. And because I'm a big person on, like, experiencing life together. Like, I love making memories together. And so if I feel like you're doing all of these things, you're going out on the road, y'all are doing all these things and experiencing things for me, then I will feel a certain way. Yeah. That's just my personal truth, because these are things I want to do with you and you're not doing it with me. You're doing with somebody else, and now I can't recreate that memory because you already did it. I don't want that to be my truth. I won't be there too. So you
that's
have
real.
To, yeah. And so I have to realize that about myself, have the discussion, and then we have to have touch points. So I feel, I'm always saying this actually, so I feel included in a part of his world. Good. You can cue Ariel there.
I already sang it in my head.
I want to be and be included in his world. And so I think sometimes, especially early on, you're like, oh, I know he's working, he's doing whatever, it's fine. But then you feel very disjointed, you feel very disconnected, and you come home and things are just kind of on like autopilot because you're about to go out on the road again. And so for me, I know I need those touch points in order to not feel like, you know, you don't in a marriage, you don't, and it can happen, but you don't want to feel like you are two individual people who live together. You actually want to feel like you are doing life together. And so you need those touch points and those points in which your lives cross. Otherwise, staying just in parallel is not like, doesn't create or build intimacy.
Yeah, I agree. I think, and that means like when we're on tour one time, I remember the it would be simple stuff like, hey, we're going to the movies. What y'all seeing? If it's a movie we plan on seeing,
yeah,
I'll catch y'all next time.
Yeah.
If it's a movie Melissa's not interested or we didn't plan on seeing, hey, you want to see this movie? No. Okay, I'm going to go watch it with the comedians. One time, one of our comedians was going to Disney World or something, Busch Gardens. It was somewhere I hadn't been and Melissa hadn't been. She's like, hey, Kev, y'all want to, we going here where you want to go? I was like, I ain't been there with Melissa. I'll catch y'all next time.
Good.
Because I want to be, because I know how my wife is.
Yes.
And I want to protect that.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, well, she don't ever let me do nothing. It's like, that's not what she's saying.
Y'all want to protect that.
And sometimes she's like, we want to go to a Red Sox game. We hadn't done that. I'm like, listen, I kind of want to go to this Red Sox game. She's like, all right, bet. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, she's not ridiculous.
Yeah. We're
like, she's not saying, don't do nothing with me.
Right.
You know, but we also know when I'm on the road, we do date nights usually anyway. But if I'm on the road, we'd be like, we have to have
a
date
point.
Night. If I'm gone that weekend, we have to have Tuesday or Wednesday, go to dinner, do that's something good. Because I know I'm going to be gone that next weekend. But this has all come from trial and error and realizing what is work. Because we used to go on tour together. Mm-hmm. But then our sons are like, okay, y'all is doing the most.
Yeah.
One of y'all needs to stay home.
Y'all so Melissa,
bro, our youngest son was like, let's all have a family meeting.
Yeah.
What is going on?
What is going on?
Do y'all live here?
Because both y'all are gone.
Because the first year we try to bring them on the road. Second
we're just
year,
children.
We had a nanny. Third year, Melissa came back home. You know what I'm saying? And now I'm like, one of the reasons I went to theaters is because I was like, I'm also gone 8-9 months out of the year.
Yeah.
If I can go into theaters, even though it's less money,
yeah,
I'd be home. The tour is now two truncated. Months instead of 10 months.
Yeah.
So because I'm fighting for that 40 years from now,
yeah.
I don't care if I make less this year because I'll make more in the long term of my life.
Teach,
you know what I'm saying? So Jesus, sometimes you got to leave that bread on the table because what you're trying to build later. Or, and honestly, when theaters work, it's going to be better. But in the interim, it's less money, but better for our family.
Yeah.
That's what's so powerful. And that's what I think people need to hear is where is your value system? Because if the money is about, if certain people is chasing the bag, you hear this so often, chase the bag, chase the bag. And I believe that we've taught some toxic relationship with money, because you'll see people that are married, they're chasing the bag, but they're not chasing legacy.
Yeah.
And so building legacy with your family and that kid grows up. Because I'm telling you, over the last couple of months, I literally said, okay, I got this home. I'm going to be home more. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I have my nephew who I adopted. I said, I'm not just finna be gone all the time, so I'll just be there. Even if we're in separate rooms, you still see me here.
Your kids still feel that they energy feel you there. If you're there.
100%.
They don't come out of the room, but they know when you're in the house, when you're not in the house.
100%. Security.
And there's security knowing my parents are there. We see each other in the, or me and Melissa just pop in our kids' room. What y'all doing?
Yeah.
You on that game? All right.
And you go back
upstairs. They'd be like, okay, you can leave now, but when we're not home, they'd be like, when y'all coming home? Nah.
No, but when I'm home, you don't even talk to me.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the reality. For real, they don't even talk to you. Like, you don't even care. I'm here. You don't say nothing. Then as soon as I leave, you call me. Hey, can I was just
in
the
house.
Just sitting there for all three days. You didn't say nothing.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what I love about what y'all are sharing is, you know, that's why I said this is a masterclass on marriage, because you're sharing relatable tips on not just what we were. Unfortunately, growing up in a church, we were never taught none of this. Mm-hmm. We never had these conversations. There was never platforms to hear this type of conversation. Yeah. And you would hear about a 40-year marriage that ended and never know why. So then now you're sitting there looking like, well, marriage don't work.
Yep.
If Deacon so-and-so got divorced
1,000%.
And they didn't have no kids or out of wedlock, nothing. And then what happened? It just don't
work.
It's
going to happen to me eventually.
Period. And then if Melissa grows up and says, oh, listen, you know, after year 20, whatever, my parents got divorced, and she go, I'm just waiting for the shot clock, mm-hmm. you know, around 20-something. Those triggers start rearing up. They got divorced about 22. Are we going to make it to 23?
Yep.
You go, ooh. We won past 23.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so it's those things to have those healthy conversations where we're able to process these things in real time. And you have no idea the level of reference that you guys provided during this podcast, because people are going to be sitting there like, all right, I guess I can do life with you. You know what I'm saying? Because marriage be real.
Yes.
I mean, it be so freaking real. And when we start really talking about triggers and stuff and the reality of this, I've talked to married couples before and they'll talk about, I wish I never got a divorce, or I wish I would have tried a little bit harder. I wish, if you're dying with regret saying wish, like her parents said, I wish they would have fought, that lets you know that you didn't fight hard enough.
Yeah.
And what you said earlier was that, listen, if it don't work, which I know for a fact, y'all ain't never getting a divorce, but at least I know that I tried everything. I ran with my drawers out. Last time I ran to the garage with my drawers on. Next time I'm running down the street chasing out the car, hanging on top of the hood. Don't leave me.
I would have done that if she'd gotten far enough.
But that's the reality to know that I don't have no ego when it comes to you.
Mm-mm.
Because, you know, the acronym, they say ego is edging God out. But how do we take these vows to say to death do us part, and we say God brought us here, and then the minute that our insecurities or our triggers get triggered, then we go, nah, I ain't finna, if you gonna leave. I ain't finna beg you to stay.
So I can go on the internet and be like, man, she ain't want me.
She didn't want
and
me.
Then what?
And
it's then
you
cold
get,
in that
and,
bed.
And then you go get that big booty chick, and then you like, she don't even care about you. She just there because of who you are now.
Oh, my God.
But she doesn't. She wouldn't have been there through the process.
Absolutely.
And what you was talking about with her, and what I love when you see couples that come up together, you can never recreate that. Ever.
Never.
Never. That y'all were rocking with each other. What'd you say, in that two-bedroom house? Two-bedroom house with one bath?
One shower in that whole house.
That's true.
We were taking a shower with children's toys on the ground, because ain't no point in moving them. Just the rubber ducky in the truck is in here. Just hush.
Don't despise your humble beginnings if that's your situation now.
Listen, because we would love that. That was our house. We'll go back to it if necessary.
And that's what's so beautiful about it is that y'all are protecting that marriage. When does your tour dates? I want to know when your tour dates are popping off. Where are you going? What other projects
airs,
you got?
Just go to kevonstage.com. Here's the thing, tour. I won't be having that many dates, because we start at the top of February. We're going to most of the major markets in the United States. Houston, Dallas, New York, Philly, Toronto, Canada, Atlanta, Chicago.
So when's the tour end? What month?
March. There's a conversation we have. She said, we doing our wedding vow
renewal. Our 20th vow renewal ceremonies in June.
I don't want you having one tour stop into April, because whatever I want to do with you, take a picture, not take a picture, do this, make a video. I don't want to argue with you. I told my agent, I said,
I don't want to fight with time.
Listen, my wife said, I can't go outside. I can only go outside in February, the marchings.
They so said, when's your vow renewal?
June 26th.
You have to remember?
No, I was debating on if I was going to say it aloud. I won't say the location. It's a destination, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I won't say the location. Yeah.
And so why is this important to do a vow renewal 20 year?
Oh, man, there's so many reasons, but I'll give top three. Number one, my dad and Kevin's dad were not present at our first wedding. We got married in 2004. And so obviously this is after 9/11. And both of our dads were called like within months of our wedding, like not even months, like month of our wedding to serve our country. Mm. And so they ended up missing. Number two, I'm learning to look back at the pictures of my first wedding with like softer eyes.
Yes.
But I hated my dress. I hated my hair. I hated my makeup. Child, there's so many things I wish I could do again. And so I've always said I wanted to do I want my dad to walk me down to the aisle. I'm a daddy's girl. I want Kevin's dad to be present. And then I want the opportunity to look back on my photos and like them and be proud. But I didn't like them almost. Like,
yeah, I remember.
We moved into an apartment after we got married, and I was like, I do not want to hang these up. Like, I didn't really? Like them
you're,
then.
So you like them immediately?
Yeah, I didn't like them immediately. It wasn't like 20 years later.
I thought you were looking back and saying, I'm out here. I like everybody.
No, right, I didn't like them.
The next Thursday.
Yeah. I didn't like them then. So that's that. And then the third one is I actually think, I've said this before, that I believe that love is a risk. And I think with time, that risk proves to be a good decision. And I think that in 20 years, I now know what I meant when I said through thick and thin, for richer and poorer, I do. Like those words have weight because I have walked them out. And so the first time I said this recently, the first time you hope it to be true. At a vow renewal, you know them to be true. The conviction is different. You stand on it different. You feel it different. You say it different because I have 20 years of experience that have proven through thicker and thin, through richer, for richer and poor. I have 20 years of experience to prove that to be true. And so I actually think it's very, very powerful to have the opportunity to like do it again.
I'm trying not to break down. Trying to hold on to my gangster. Good Lord, Melissa. Lord, that did something to me. Mm-hmm. 20 years to know it to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear how those words will mean something totally different.
Sure enough.
It's like, and I think about the naivety that we have when we're saying our vows, and we say these huge contrasted vows for better or for worse, you know, for richer, we never ever think, what if it is worse? What if we are poor? What if we are sick?
Yes.
You never say that. We just say it casually, but not realizing that you guys have experienced the journey of that. And y'all look back and be like, this was the best investment I ever made.
Mm-hmm. I would do it again.
Yeah.
It's the opportunity to say yes to it again, knowing, which is different.
Anything else y'all like to share? Anything else y'all got coming up?
Get on my Patreon, man. Kevin Stays. Yeah. We talk like this every single day.
You got your Patreon. What else you got going
on? Patreon and tour dates, merch. Listen to the podcast. Jen and Juice, her and her sister have a great podcast.
It's a fun time.
It's a fan time, but any of the support. Just watch
your sister. I was watching the thing where you was talking about today when I was watching about getting your kids to clean up.
Yes.
And say, I don't care who on their way coming over here. Hey, you finna clean up this doggone room. You finna go do this. I don't care. They sitting on the phone. Like, I was just like, but I know that was your sister.
That's my sister. Yeah. That's my baby sister. That's my blood baby sister.
What y'all gonna do with Love on Stage?
Child, BET, you wanna come over?
That's a great question.
Listen, who's available?
I thought that was a brilliant idea.
Thank you.
I love that. You know, shout out to Aries. That's my yes. homie or whatever. But yeah, I loved. I was watching that. I was like, but see, that's what I love to watch y'all build stuff together like mm-hmm. that. Because I know that was her saying, this is her passion project. Yes. Yep. And it's like, you didn't sit there and be like, well, now you sit back and I'm going to do my stuff. You yep. know what I'm saying? It's like, babe, what you got going on? You want to do that? Let's go do that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And so that's what I love is I see people pouring into each other for the betterment of y'all marriage. I got to end this interview because I'm finna break down crying.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm messed up right now. Thank y'all for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Glad we finally did it.
We too. Finally this was fun. Did
it. Y'all give it up for the Fredericks, y'all.
Appreciate y'all. God bless you.
Mr. and Mrs. Kev on stage.
Ladarian, thrusted suddenly into Child Protective Services in 2015. My nephew, black, a boy. The likelihood of being adopted outside of kinship, slim to none. Armani, 16 years old, black, a boy, with 5 years in the foster care system before I even knew his name. The likelihood of ever being adopted, yep, you guessed it, slim to none. While Ladarian and Armani were trying to survive and barely thrive in an overpopulated and underfunded foster care system, I was living my own life, doing well professionally. Having been a single father with a daughter who at that point was doing well in college, it was my time to live my life, right? Wrong. I felt unsettled, tireless, agitated. There are just too many of our black children stuck in ambiguity and in the limbo of the foster care system. In 2017, I legally adopted my nephew, Ladarian. Fast forward to 2019, I had no ties to this other young king, but I felt God instructed me to adopt him also, and I obeyed. Starting over with parenting should have been enough, right? Working with various foster care and adoption agencies to help bring awareness to the countless young black kings in the foster care system should have decreased my agitation, right? Joining the board of directors of Advantage Adoption, an organization that helps find permanent adoptive homes for children in foster care, should have led to some type of resolve, right? No, not at all. None of it felt like I had done enough. I now realize that every one of those experiences was laying the fundamental foundation for my life's mission, Kingdom Royale. Kingdom Royale will be a luxury state-of-the-art home for foster boys. Our first location will be in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. We will utilize the whole person approach that instills identity, empowers them to advocate for themselves, and enlightens them regarding new perspectives and limitless options that they thought were impossible. Though the young kings will attend the local public schools that are in proximity to Kingdom Royale, our at-home curriculum will broaden their worldview through participating in the arts, attending various cultural events, learning about and engaging in multifaceted discussions about current events and even relevant historical contexts, introducing them to gardening and landscaping and even caring for our animals on our farm and on-site stables. We just launched our startup capital campaign with the goal of raising $2.8 million. Now, why $2.8 million? Well, in 2017, I created a web series in which I performed random acts of kindness for targeting the homeless community. One of the most notable successes was that one of the videos went viral, garnering 28 million views. However, one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't raise a single dollar to help in implementing a more sustainable plan for the homeless community. So throughout the years, with much remorse, I reflected on not maximizing that moment. I knew if at that time, just 10% of the viewers donated $1, we would have raised at least $2.8 million that could have really established long-term support for the homeless community, or at least started a long-term initiative to do so. This is my do-over. This is our new beginning. Together, we can attack this at the root by specifically helping our homeless black boys who are already disproportionately represented in the American foster care system. I'm LaTerrace R. Whitfield. I've been nominated for 3 regional Emmys documenting my work with the homeless as well as my personal adoption journey. Despite those accolades, the greatest award for me is truly providing the infrastructure for a transformed life. Visit KingdomRoyale.com for more details. Crown a king and make a donation today.
Man, listen, I hope y'all enjoyed that episode as much as I did. Man, the Fredericks, God, wasn't that a masterclass on marriage? Absolutely. Just powerful. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Let's keep them in our prayers as God continues to do great exploits with them. And I just thank God for it. Well, here's my favorite part of the podcast where I write a letter to my future wifey. Dear future wifey, as I envision our life together, I want us to navigate the journey hand in hand, especially during the challenging days. Life is bound to throw curveballs our way, but I am committed to ensuring that the bad days never outshadow our shared vision of a beautiful future. In the face of difficulties, let's promise each other that we won't let the shadows of the present dim the brightness of our dreams. Our connection is a source of strength, and together we can weather any storm. I believe that acknowledging and facing challenges head on strengthens our bond, making us more resilient as a couple. When the clouds gather, I want us to be each other's ray of sunshine, reminding ourselves of the dreams and the goals we've set for our future. Let's not lose sight of the bigger picture and instead use the tough times as opportunities to grow, learn, and emerge stronger as a team. With enduring commitment, your future hubby. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Dear Future Wifey podcast. Remember, be lit, live intentionally and transparently, and don't stop loving. Make sure to subscribe to our Dear Future Wifey YouTube channel. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. We welcome your support. Simply share our podcast with your friends and family.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.